It is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal, and we have Cynthia Hosswinder in the middle studio. Good morning, Cynthia.
Good morning, and I think Anna's on her way.
Okay, well, we'll find out.
I guess we'll find out.
We will determine.
I mean, yeah, when if the door opens and closes, we'll know it's Anne. And but we do have Janet Manco on the line right now. Janet?
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Great.
All right. We have beautiful sunshine, but low temperature. It's 18 degrees.
Yeah.
Well, let's go to the front page of the Lakeville Journal and a packed house. The Burgess Auditorium at Housatonic Valley Regional High School was filled to capacity with the Mountain Lion program.
Mountain Lion is a trigger word for people in the Northwest Corner. If you put the word Mountain Lion in front of anything, you will almost definitely get a strong reaction. And I anticipate this will be our best-selling issue of the year, because we have a big headline that says Eastern Mountain Lions are on their way. There was a talk that was presented by three organizations, and there's been conflict since I've moved to this area 20 years ago about whether the Mountain Lions are in residence in the Northwest Corner. The state official line is there are no Mountain Lions here, but people constantly claim that they see them. So a woman who is very knowledgeable came, and she basically said the problem's going to resolve itself soon because they're definitely, whether or not they're here, they're definitely coming. And the talk was about how we cohabitate with them and the impact it's going to have on the rest of the natural world, especially the deer. And it's very interesting, and I think you should read Patrick's article.
What's great about it is I did an interview on it, and what's great about it is that it's going to be a whole new learning experience for people who like to hike the Appalachian Trail and do any outdoor activities where they are out in the wild, because if you make good prey for a mountain lion, they'll go after you.
And they like movement. So if you're moving at a fast pace, that looks delicious to them.
Well, I guess I'm lucky because I haven't moved at a fast
there you
pace.
Go. Something else will get you.
That's right.
The bear.
The bear is right.
Right. But this lecture gives good advice on what to do if you do see one and all that. So definitely read it.
I happen to think if it happens, it's one of the benefits of living where we live, where you get a chance to interact with the with nature and reality.
They are beautiful.
Yeah. All right. Second round of questions on the sidewalk affairs and going on in Kent.
This is a perplexing, this is one of those perplexing procedures that sometimes happens in town life. There's some grant money available. There's a bunch of bonds that are being retired. So there is money available, theoretically, in the town's coffers. And there's a conflict between the selectmen over whether or not these sidewalk repairs should be made. And I think everybody agrees that the sidewalks are falling apart, that, you know, that as the ground heaves, it pushes them up and starts to make them dangerous. And people do really walk around Kent, you know, a lot of kids, but also a lot of tourists. So they want to make these repairs. The government is offering some money. These bonds are about to be retired this year, so they can do it without raising taxes. One of the selectmen is raising objections that I'm sure seem completely logical, but that that don't agree with the forward fast movement of this project. So I think it's I don't think this is going to resolve quickly or easily. I think we'll have a few more stories on this it's done.
Well, I also will remind people about what happened in Falls Village, and the Falls Village sidewalks ended up, as we always say, really making a huge difference in the town, not only in the looks of the town, but the safety of walking around the town, and even the way the streetscape changed. So,
and Falls Village, like Ken, is a town that has a lot of pedestrian activity. Where in Falls Village they have the big car show, and a lot of people walk through town, and people come for the Falls Village Inn, especially their fantastic burger night on Monday. So they're walking often in the dark. In Kent, it's the same thing. People come to the Fife and Drum. They see shows there. People come and they walk up and down the street, and they sort of promenade, and they have all those great Kent Chamber of Commerce activities. So definitely the town will benefit from having an improved walkway.
All right. And a good story out of Norfolk about ideas for strengthening the region as a whole that we live in.
This is an ongoing conversation that we've been having in this area for at least the last 10 years, which is, you know, the Northwest Corner is fiercely independent. People are practically libertarian up here. But there is a decline in population, and there is the understanding that there's strength in numbers. But when the state government tells us that we need to consolidate stuff, we don't usually like it, but there are certain places that we do feel like it, there is strength in numbers. And so this was a presentation put on in Norfolk, which already has a hub for people to come in and use a shared space for work. And it was a tour of Norfolk and some of the things they do, including Anne's favorite thing, the walkway there, which she loves. And an opportunity to learn about things like the shared food hub and other things. And so a very interesting story from Deb.
All right. Congratulations to the Hoosasonic Lady Mountaineers.
Patrick Sullivan kept texting me from the game and saying, this is hard to watch. It's the third quarter and it's 30-0. And I was like, oh, poor Housatonic. And he goes, no, they're winning. They're crushing the other team. So I guess Housatonic, very high in the rankings, playing the 31st team out of 32 teams in the state conference. They won the Berkshire League tournament last Friday. They won their first game on Monday night, and their second game is tonight, also at home, because they're such a high seed in the tournament. So that's turn out and support them. It's exciting. When you see the photos that Savage Freeze and Tom Brown have been taking, it's a very exciting team to watch.
All right. Big, long, nice picture of the competitors at the Polar Bear Run.
Says it all, right? Lance Christensen, wonderful photo. People like Lance and Ann Day and John Gruen, Tom Brown, take these incredible photos with Joseph Meehan with equipment that, you know, that I don't have, certainly. And so we got this wonderful panoramic shot of all these people, some of them in shorts, running through the snow at the Polar Bear Run, and God bless them.
I was going to say, I wouldn't even walk because I might slip and fall.
Please.
I mean, they run.
Yes.
History.
History Notebook. So Bernard Drew, I'm not sure if people realize this, is a very respected historian. And one of his topics of particular knowledge is W.E.B. Du Bois up in Great Barrington and Black history. And he talks about, he came in on Monday morning and he said, I really want to write about Green Book after the win by the movie Green Book at the Academy Awards. And so he writes about the actual Green Book and its history and what the actual Green Book was. And it's very interesting, and I highly recommend you read it.
All right. We move inside on the inside pages. And the Housatonic robotics team is journeying into deep space.
The robotics team is like a sports team at Housatonic. In fact, it's bigger. It has a cheering section. It has designers. It has, actually, this year, a lot of Chinese kids, I think because of the exchange program that our little tiny school has with a Chinese school. So it's an engineering and robotics team. It takes part in a national competition. And every year they give it an assignment. The assignment arrives sealed on a certain date. Everybody gets to start working on their project, and then the project has to be finished on a certain date, and then it's sequestered. So it is in sequestration right now, and starting in March, it will begin competitions. And what the kids do is they show up at these conferences. Each of their robots can do a small portion of the total number of things that the robot can do, and part of what they have to do is go around to other teams and negotiate to do an alliance, which is a great diplomacy skill for these kids. They learn a lot through this robotics program.
All right. And it's kind of cool what happened at the Hotchkiss School this past weekend.
Yeah, it was the St. Luke's Friend Association, which is one of the oldest clubs in the school. And they did something which actually, you know, a lot of the public schools have done, which is really focus on diversity. But of course, you know, if you're at Sharon Center School, they do a wonderful job, but it's an assignment. Here, they were having kids from their native lands because all of these public schools have a really large diverse population, so they were all showing food and little demonstrations from their native countries. And Cordelia Schiller went and had a nice time.
All right, and there on page A3 is Abe.
He's back.
He used to be in the corner of one of the walkways when I went to the school. You walked in, took the right way, and went down to the cafeteria. He used to be right in the corner, but now front and center and surrounded by, it must be, I figure, plexiglass.
It's actually glass from Sheldon Glass, Bob Sheldon. And Ian Strever sent us a nice photo of it and a little heads up. And so, of course, there was that big desk in the center of the hallway outside the auditorium, which had been mostly used, I think, for, in my experience of it, it seemed like people mostly put flyers and brochures there. And we have a nice history of Abe and where he has lived in that building and how he ended up there. He was made by a famous sculptor. But the most important thing is Ian Strever, the new principal, said, yes, we did check with Stan McMillan, the fire marshal, and he is allowed to be there in the center of the hallway.
All right, and he's back. Abe is back. Nice picture of Nancy Martin and Dave Beresdorfer there, the 21st Century Fund.
That's right. Two of the jolliest, nicest people ever. And the 21st Century Fund has been around for many, many years, as you know, to bring money to projects that are not part of the actual educational remit. And I tend to think of it as, you know, things where the school faculty applies for it. But Nancy and Dave are saying, no, 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 if you're a student and you have a project you want to do, you know, we have money available. Let us know what your project is, and we'll see if we can fund it for you.
All right. And, of course, a nice little story there on the Pinewood Derby.
I love the Pinewood Derby. It's one of my favorite times of the year. And I would say that the best attended of all the Pinewood Derbies is the one in North Canaan. Patrick Sullivan went, and we have some photos of there's the photo that he has there is of the finish line. But you get a 5-ounce block of pinewood, and then you have to customize it, and there's certain rules, and it's a long-standing Cub Scout, Boy Scout tradition. And people come back year after year in North Canaan, graduates, military, siblings, and they all make their own little cars. They're very cute.
All right, North Canaan, the ZBA, did something that I think heroic. By unanimous decision, they lifted the cease and desist order that had been put up against the Bernie Metcalf company.
Ben Metcalf, yeah, it's interesting. So there had been a lot of consternation from the neighbors in East Canaan. Ben Metcalf had taken over a property that had been industrial before, and they were accusing him of doing illegal asphalt production. And when they examined the case, they found that there had been one occasion when some odor had emanated from a truck. But they have lifted the cease and desist order. I suspect that this is not the last we're going to hear about this. This has been a big issue in Canaan, and I think the neighbors are very unhappy having that plant there. But, you know, the law is the law, and it does seem like they've respected the law in this ruling.
There's another case that's going to come up later on about a different thing that Metcalf is doing, but this one was the first one, and we'll see what happens. And then there's that fire in Falls Village on Main Street.
Yeah, this is a big deal. We heard about it. You know, of course, we all have our police scanners, so we had heard about it in the scanner. There was a lot of cars flying by. And so Mary Palmer, who's the town clerk in Falls Village, her son Luke had inherited this little blue house across from Lee Kellogg'sville from his father, Mark Miteau, and they had just done a ton of restoration on it. It was apparently beautifully done, beautiful wood floors. It had recently been repainted. And the tenants in there, the father had been napping, and he woke up and smelled smoke, put the fire out in one room, and realized it had hit another room, got all the kids out, got the pets out, and they were able to save the exterior of the house. I think the interior of the house is kind of a mess, but they've got a GoFundMe campaign. We have the link for it, and they'd already raised, I think, 3 times as much money as they had been seeking. But, you know, as anybody knows who's had a fire, there's just so many expenses that I'm sure anything that anybody wants to help with will be welcome.
All right. And Cornwall's budget saw some increases in key areas.
Yeah, things that we're all going to be seeing. You know, of course, there's always the big municipal vehicles that need to be replaced. Everybody's got, plows and fire trucks. They have a fire truck that needs replacing in Cornwall. But also the trash fees. Like, we're all going to be seeing increases in the trash fees this year. So,
Patrick Sullivan has a nice story on something that's been going on for over almost 40 years, and that is the recital from students all throughout the area.
Yeah, my daughter used to do ballet dancing, as did Janet's, and it's a lovely thing. And Patrick has gone every year, and he always says he gives the best reviews of these student works. You know, really respectful, and you know, Patrick, people may or may not know, really likes music and understands it well, and talks intelligently about what these kids are doing. So that's a fun story to read. And we had been asked by the Salisbury Congregational Church to give an update on what's happening as the Reverend Diane Monte Catania goes into retirement. I think they're moving up to Vermont.
And they have an interim.
Interim. And we have the weekly schedule for the next few weeks, too.
All right. And everybody's a winner in Norfolk.
Yeah, Norfolk, very active this month. Yeah. You know, it's this time of year when nobody really voluntarily wants to go to Norfolk, the icebox of the state, although a lot of people do go up there for cross-country skiing. And the maple syrup season is beginning, which I love because it means that spring is around the corner. But they did have their annual winter weekend. I think it's the second year they've done it, and they'll have another, or it's the weekend in Norfolk weekend, and then they'll have another one in summer.
Yeah.
And Lawrence Davis Hollander had asked me to mention the medical cannabis talk on Thursday at the Scoville Memorial Library. They've got some very interesting speakers, and of course that's been a topic of interest as, for instance, we have a dispensary opening in Torrington, but we also have the recreational marijuana store in Great Barrington.
Any samples at this talk?
have to go to find out.
Yeah, ask Lauren.
All right, so you've got some nice pictures of what we talked about, the Hoosie Girls, and also the incredible people, some crazy, run around the lake, the Polar Bear Run.
All I can say is the thought of the cramps that their muscles must get in that weather.
It makes me feel better seeing Ollie the Black Labrador, though.
Yes, I think that's the whole purpose. And so a portion of the funds raised by the race went to the Little Guild. I believe it's the Little Guild.
Once again, some very, very Kent Lions Club, known faces in the obituary section. I'm Sid Ball from Millerton, Gregory McEnroe, of course, Robert Cooper, the founder of Associated Lightning Rod.
Right.
All right, let's go on to the editorial page. And I'm going to introduce this, but I'm going to ask for a little explanation. Keep funding for more than classroom studies. Do you have an inkling that other things might be cut in the budget? Is that why you issued this strong editorial, which I totally agree with, by the way?
Yes. That's my answer to you. And so it is always worthy to think about. And, you know, we were just talking about the 21st Century Fund, too, which does give money away for all kinds of programs that students can benefit from. And so let's think about that as we're going into this budget season and think about everything that these students benefit from, not just in the classroom and academic learning, but all the other extracurricular activities, too, that are so meaningful for what they end up doing for the rest of their lives. We can learn all kinds of things in school, but if we also learn things that, even if they don't lead to careers, but if they lead to the way you use your spare time and enjoy life, you know, as you grow older, it's well worth it. And so give it a read and think about it and really go out to these budget meetings and let them know what you think about that.
You know, if you have somebody, if you took a look back at my 1971 yearbook, under the pictures, you always saw the different clubs that people participated in. And everybody had a chance to participate in five or six extra activities that the school put on that, for a lot of people, made a difference in whether people came to school or not, believe it or not.
Yes, exactly. And that is a really good point, because for some kids, you know, if there are challenges in the classroom or in the social network and they're struggling, this can be a way to pull them in and where they find a circle that is supportive and, you know, they find something they have a passion for. And just that, you know, to pull a student forward is well worth it. It should be all part of the fabric of education.
All right. Lots of letter. I love turning back the pages. I like going back 100 years ago. Found a bunch of 12 door keys and buttonhook on the road near Bakerfield.
I bet those were really important.
Well, back then it probably was.
Exactly.
You look at that. And also your viewpoint page. Once again, you have Peter Steiner with a great cartoon, but lots of good writing on that page again.
Yes, Dick Ollis talks about a tragic death in the southern part of the state that people in Connecticut are playing politics with. Matt Gordon talks about the benefits of having a federal gasoline tax raised, and Bill Schmick lets us know his thoughts on how the IRS has come out of the government shutdown. And if anybody has been dealing with them, I think that you know that they are under the gun. Peter Riva talks about humanity's future in the air, and we don't always or even often have photographs to go along with letters, but two of our letters this week are illustrated, and both with very interesting photos.
And let's go to page A10. And you see the municipal salaries for 2018.
It's very interesting. And, of course, this is always a topic that comes up during the budget season, which is whether there'll be I would say there are always raises for municipal employees, except for in a very rare year. But often the selectmen don't take them, and a huge disparity in the salaries.
Well, whenever I see a salary of people that get money through taxpayer dollars, I always remember Tom Bradley, who used to be the principal at Salisbury Central School.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when people would question his want to see his contract, he said, "I have no problem. I signed my contract, and if the voters don't like it, You know, they can vote the budget down. He was always, but this, but you're right. The disparity that you see in this does open up your eyes.
Yeah. And Patrick had said at the very bottom, it says local mileage, and he wasn't sure why that was there. So I guess we didn't explain clearly enough. When you look at town crew foremen, often a big part of their jobs is plowing and road maintenance. And so that's the number of miles in each town that they have to manage.
It's, and I'll tell you what, I went out with years ago with the crew on a snowstorm. Ooh. And I'll tell you what.
That's rough.
They whatever you pay your town crew and your foreman is well worth it, because if you want to continue getting around your town,
oh my gosh,
they're
yes.
very, very, very important.
In the early hours.
Well, they're there to provide not only for you, but for the emergency services, mm-hmm. you name it. They've got to be there, whether it's snow. It's kind of like the SWAS of volunteers. They go out in the most horrible conditions.
Yeah.
So.
It's true. And take note, speaking of emergency services to get to the hospital, Sharon has the largest number of local miles, almost 90 miles of roads too.
Yeah.
Wow. Holy.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, all right. Well, you know what? We get to the compass section with, well, before we get to compass, the real estate.
Oh, it's
section.
The corner. I loved it. I'm reading it right now.
That's right.
It's in the paper, but now. I saw Ann's head turn around real quick.
Snapped.
It is time for Compass Update. Before we get to the regular things, did you agree with any of the awards on the movies and or anything like that that you saw?
I did not see Green Book, and I'm disinclined to see it. It doesn't interest me for many reasons, which we can talk about later. But, yeah, I thought that the best song was certainly, I love Gaga and Bradley Cooper, and I love The Favorite, which gave, the Best Actress Award, Olivia Colman. But I do want to say something that doesn't have to do with that, Marshall, which is you skipped the most important thing in turning back the pages, which is that 100 years ago, in February of 1919, Mr. and Mrs. George Belcher gave a Parcheesi party at their beautiful villa on Main Street last week. Mr. Belcher, through the fortunate possession of a loaded dice, was able to win the majority of games.
Those are hard words.
I think we need more news stories like that.
Absolutely.
Well,
we need more Parcheesi.
Yeah.
Parcheesi and Yahtzee.
Now, unfortunately, I was going to say, just mention the word Parcheesi, and half the people alive today are going to go, huh?
Well, that's a good reason just to do this column right there.
Why,
so
there
isn't
a Parcheesi app?
They're
going to
think
what
that
happened?
Parcheesi is something that you shake out of a can on your chicken.
Yes, it's Parmesan. It's Parmesan.
But right. Also, I like the fortunate possession of loaded dice. I'd like to own some of those loaded dice.
I'd like some fortunate possession.
All right. Well, now we only have a minute left.
Now to Compass. We have a review by Alexander Wilburn of a novel called The Age of Light. It's a debut novel by Whitney Scherer, and she's going to be speaking at the White Hart next week.
Jeez, where's the date? they can
March 5th at 6 p.m. at the Oblong series of authors speaking. It's about the photographer Lee Miller, who was a fashion model from Poughkeepsie and quite beautiful, and was not happy with just being a fashion model. She eventually became the assistant to the photographer Man Ray and becomes a photographer in her own right and covers war. And the picture in the story is sort of, interestingly, the most famous picture that we know of Lee Miller, even though she didn't take it. She set it up and got somebody to take the picture. She's in Hitler's bathtub with her dirty boots outside of the bathtub, and she's looking out at us, and it's the day that after Hitler died. So it's sort of an iconic picture, and everybody wants to know the story behind it, and this is an entire novel which kind of explains it. And I have to just read one thing from Alexander's review, which is a quote from the Guerrilla Girls saying, less than 5% of artists in the modern art section are women, but 85% of the nudes are female. And that's kind of something to think about, and it's something that the author, I think, thought about when she wrote this novelistic biography of Lee Miller. There's also a television review of Russian Doll. Are we finished?
We have about 20 seconds.
Okay. Russian Doll, reviewed by Sophia Kaufman. Netflix, sounds great. It's addictive. There's a theater review of a kinky play called Venus and Fur at the Sherman Playhouse. It wasn't supposed to be funny, but Marsden thought it was funny, so I think it's probably funny. Okay, thanks.
And lots of calendar.
All right. Well, we'll see you guys next week.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Because we are flat out of time. So the Lakeful Journal can be found on the web at tricornernews.com and on Facebook.